absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 185 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural. My name is Laurent Borgmann, and today our show will be all about intercultural Christmas traditions and New Year's resolutions. December. In the north of Europe, this means Christmas trees, certainly, mulled wine in the Christmas markets, and perhaps lots of snow. And if you're lucky, you may spot the odd reindeer. In our show today, I asked how my guests celebrate Christmas in Australia, England, Germany, Singapore, and Eritrea, but also how people formulate their New Year's resolutions in different cultures. So in our first category, absolutely festive, I asked what their typical Christmas day consists of.
Eating a lot, and I think drinking a lot is part of the Christmas tradition, isn't it? And eating unsuitable food, having chocolate for breakfast, and then followed by a Baileys.
In our second category, absolutely resolved, I asked Beatrice what her New Year's resolution for the coming year will be.
I don't smoke, so I can't actually wish to stop smoking. And I can actually just take the list of last year or the year before or the year before that.
And finally, in our third category, absolutely diverse, we're going to identify intercultural differences in celebrating Christmas.
Christmas definitely includes alcohol in Australia. Everyone gets a little bit merry on Christmas.
But now let us start with a show. Christmas celebrations differ around the globe, but typically involve gatherings of family and perhaps friends and indulging in rich and glorious food and drink. When talking about Christmas, everyone seems to have their own ideal view of what Christmas should be all about, which, however, varies greatly from country to country. For me, as a child, Christmas meant spending the holy evening with my family, singing traditional, often a little gloomy German Christmas songs, remembering previous Christmases, and excitedly anticipating the moment where I get up to unwrap my gifts. For the last 25 years, however, I've been abroad in different countries for that period of year, experiencing different intercultural traditions. I've been fortunate enough to meet people from all around the world and hear about how they spend their festive night. Last week, I had the pleasure of speaking with Laura from Australia, Anna from England, Rashima from Singapore, and Jonathan from Eritrea, and hear about their Christmas traditions. First up, I asked Jonathan whether or not everyone celebrates Christmas in his African home country.
In my country, it's only celebrated by Christians, and it's very religious. Yes, okay. It is only related with the birth of Jesus Christ and Mary and the whole story in the Bible. For example, we do not even have Santa Claus in my country.
Ah, right.
The tradition of Santa Claus is something quite new.
Which country is that?
Eritrea.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do people do who are not Christians? Would they go to work on that day, or is it a public holiday?
No. In Eritrea, when there are public holidays, everyone takes a break. They don't work, but they just spend the time with their families. They don't have to celebrate it.
All right.
Well, in my country, it is very different. There are many religions, and although the Christians are the ones who go to church beforehand and have the Christmas trees, people from other religions still visit their friends. I would always visit my friends on Christmas and take part in the whole eating out and giving presents.
I think you always feel that you should spend Christmas with your family, but often the best Christmases include some time with your friends as well to perhaps dilute the influence of your family.
Right. This is actually exactly how it happened when I was a teenager, I would say, that I had to spend Christmas with my family. And then late at night, we were sneaking out and we were visiting our friends. And I got to see very, very different Christmases, actually. So they were very different from my parents' Christmas.
I would normally just celebrate with my family as a young child. But I've noticed as I've started getting older, it's combined now. I spend it with family and friends, which makes it lots of fun. It's generally family in the morning and friends later on in the day.
So they've formalized that because they realize that you cannot stay with your family all day.
It's also the same in my country. Although we tend to spend much of Christmas with our family, but whenever we have time, we also visit friends' homes, especially if they are not Christians. Although they do not celebrate it in their homes, they're always welcome to come and have a visit. Mm-hmm. And whenever Muslims, for example, have their Eid celebrations, we as Christians go to their homes and we take part in their festive celebrations also.
Is it formalized? Is there one part of it which is reserved to the family and another part where you open your doors to others?
Not at all. But usually people tend to spend, like what Laura said, in the mornings people are usually staying in their homes and having family times. And when you tend to eat a lot and you feel the need to get some fresh air, then you go to visit some friends. Yeah, that's how it always happens.
Yeah, well, eating a lot seems to ring a bell for me as well. Is that the same in your countries?
Eating a lot and I think drinking a lot is part of the Christmas tradition, isn't it? And eating unsuitable food, having chocolate for breakfast and then followed by a Bailey's and perhaps a Mandarin and then starting to feel sick about lunchtime. That's very much a Christmas tradition in our house.
Now, are you talking about an English Christmas or are you talking about an Australian?
Well, I guess for me, I've had these two experiences, but for me in Australia, it never feels like Christmas because so much of Christmas for me is about the weather, about the climate and about the smells of Christmas, sort of fires and mulled wine and ginger and cinnamon. Yeah. Whereas in Australia, where we worship the outdoors, Christmas is very much a time for family and friends, but it doesn't feel the same.
So what does happen? Laura, you're from Australia too, so yes. What does happen?
A typical Christmas for me is lying on the beach in the sun in my bikini, eating lots and lots of seafood. I don't think there's a day in the year where I eat quite so much food. Mm-hmm. We have large breakfast, lunch and dinner. yes, lots of seafood and drinks and just sunshine all day. That's the Christmas I know.
So Laura's Christmas in Australia varies greatly from that in Europe. Lying in the sun in a bikini, drinking cocktails and eating substantial amounts of seafood will perhaps get a little difficult for her this year when she is studying in Europe. But I heard that she will go to the other extreme and has booked a skiing holiday in the Alps. It's not just Christmas. New Year's is also just around the corner. Typically, at this time of the year, it means formulating a New Year's resolution to leave our bad habits behind. Generally, this means setting some unrealistic ambitions, such as for a chain smoker to quit smoking, or for me to lose 5 kilos of weight. Of course, resolutions differ from country to country and from culture to culture. In our second category, absolutely resolved, I asked Beatrice from Germany if she has any New Year's resolutions for the coming year.
I don't smoke, so I can't actually wish to stop smoking. And I can actually just take the list of last year or the year before that, because I've got a beautiful list of New Year's resolutions.
Oh, my God, that sounds so depressing.
They're still valid. They're always valid, you know.
So you're trying to tick off the list that you made a couple of years ago.
Yes, well, and I'm going to use it again next year and the year after. I mean, you don't have to take these resolutions seriously, do you?
Oh, I did once, actually.
You did?
Yes, for a whole year, I didn't drink any alcohol. Well, that's actually quite some time ago, but it worked quite well. So during the whole year, I decided not to drink any alcohol. And to be quite honest, I quite liked it because I don't like to drink a lot of alcohol. And every now and then it served me as an excuse for not drinking.
That's excellent. And it's an excellent idea to take something that you don't really like anyway and then say, well, I'm not going to do that for the next year. That's easy, of course.
Okay, you've convinced me. So that is cheating as well.
A little
bit. So should I choose something which is very difficult for me to put into practice? Eating no chocolate?
For instance, that's another thing, eating no chocolate or drinking no alcohol is kind of negative New Year's resolutions. Then there are those that are on my list, like going to the gym on a regular basis. My regular basis at the moment is that I go every 6 to 8 weeks, which doesn't really change my life as much as it should. Maybe that's a difference between negative and positive New Year's resolutions as well. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. But on the other hand, going to the gym also sounds a little negative, doesn't it? So somehow it is fighting something within ourselves. I mean, in the one case, you pronounce it as positive, and the other one as negative. Both of them are kind of fighting against what our body would want to do.
Well, we wouldn't probably have to take New Year's resolutions to eat more chocolate or go to the cinema more often.
These things
just happen, don't they? When you don't think about it, then that's what is going to happen.
Where do you get your new ones from? How does it work for you?
Well, what you need probably is a bit of time to think about it. It's not going to be a spontaneous thing, I don't think. So probably, yes, you would have to think about them a bit beforehand. And New Year's probably isn't the only time of the year when you can think about things like that. Probably anniversaries or round birthdays are that kind of thing as well, when you just stop and think what it is you've been doing so far and how you want to change your life. And somehow, well, at least in Germany, there's a tradition of looking back on life, or even more looking into the future and trying to see what the future is going to be
on these specific days, isn't it?
One of the traditions that people in Germany have been doing on New Year's Eve at these parties for quite a long time is what is called lead pouring. I don't know whether you've heard about that.
Well, explain that to our listeners, because I've never been to one.
Lead as in the metal that melts when it gets hot. So you take a spoon, a special spoon, and you burn, and you take a candle or some kind of fire, and you melt the lead, and then you pour the hot lead into cold water, and it will come out in funny shapes and sizes when it gets firm again.
Uh-huh.
So you look at that and you wonder what these things look like and what it might be that it's going to tell you. Like, for instance, if there's, I don't know, a couple there and they get something that looks like a little doll, then maybe that means that they're going to have a baby that year.
And this is something which you would do in a group of people at New Year's Eve?
It's nothing for huge parties, but I don't know, when you're about 6, 8, or 10 people sitting around the table, then of course it's fun to interpret what this lump of lead looks like what everybody thinks this is going to be, this is going to mean, or this means for
But does it then refer only to some people, or does it refer to the whole table?
It refers to the one who has poured the hot lead into the water.
Okay.
So it's...
And then it's open to interpretation, and everybody helps to put this into perspective.
Exactly. A bit like the horoscopes that you get these days, you know. Lots of newspapers and magazines bring out horoscopes for the whole year. And, of course, not every Capricorn in Europe actually has the same kind of future.
Like we just heard from Beatrice, there are various New Year's traditions that make the event a special one. In Germany, figures are made by melting lead, and the shapes of the figures are then used to predict the future for the next years. This is one typical German tradition for spending the evening of the New Year. Do you have any similar rituals in your culture? Is New Year's Eve an opportunity to look back and to look forward for you too? Please let us know on our Facebook page, Absolutely Intercultural. But now, let's jump forward to our last category, Absolutely Diverse, only to look back at our intercultural roundtable. We already heard about various Christmas traditions from different cultural backgrounds, and now we go further in depth to hear about what preparations are involved in the joyful meals. I ask Rashima if eating at a restaurant would be on the cards for her Christmas night in Singapore, or if Christmas is celebrated strictly at the family house.
No one goes to restaurants, people just cook at home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and like I said, my family doesn't celebrate Christmas per se, so I would join my friends, and I would join my friends later in the day as well.
Mm. I think this is new in Germany. I think in the old days the restaurants weren't even open on that day, but nowadays... Often people say, let's not have it at home, let's go somewhere else.
In Australia, it varies for families, but my family's always been one to get up really early in the morning. And we like to have Christmas at the beach, but if you want to get a spot on the beach, you have to go really early in the morning. So we will get up early and go down to the park area just near the beach to get a barbecue so we can do a cook-up breakfast, is really good. I like doing that. And then we'll generally go home later on for a lunch.
In Eritrea, the food and the drinks are like the biggest part of the celebration. Mm-hmm. So it would be unthinkable not to have anything cooked at home and to just go to a restaurant, because you never know, your friends or your relatives might come home. And if you tell them you haven't prepared anything, then that's so horrible. that isn't even considered normal. Because for us, Christmas, like any other religious holiday, it starts with the preparation of the food, because we always have to slaughter sheep mm-hmm. or goats mm-hmm. or whatever. Or okay. if people are poor, they just buy chicken.
Yeah.
So that is the biggest part of the celebration. Ah, right. So it's not even okay to just go to the shops and buy meat or other stuff. You have to slaughter it at home.
The preparation yes. is part of it.
Yes, and that is kind of a religious tradition to have an animal slaughtered in the home, and you know, to have the drinks, and so the main reason of going to a friend's house is to have a taste of what they have prepared in honor of the religious day.
I remember when I was, well, maybe also a teenager, I for the first time I went out after our family Christmas, I went to see some friends, and I must say I was shocked. These guys were not Catholic but Protestant, and they were celebrating with their friends, but all day. So actually they had invited their best friends and they came to their home. For me, this was a little shocking, actually, that it wasn't with grandma and grandpa, but it was with friends, and these guys were drinking alcohol. I couldn't believe it. If we had alcohol, we would have had one really good glass of wine or something. But certainly Christmas in my family wouldn't have been an occasion where anybody would even have been tipsy.
You sound like much fun, your Christmas. Worried about the cost of presents and no alcohol to drink.
Well, like actually, you're putting your finger on it. In my family, Christmas was not about fun. We were singing, "Oh, du fröhliche," and you can hear that doesn't sound like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Even if you don't understand the words, it's about being a little miserable, thinking about the old times. And 3 years ago, grandfather was still with us. Now he's not. Let's all cry. Seriously, this was much more the mode in which we were. And then in the evening, I put on my coat and go to this. This was only 100 meters away from my home. And go to these other people, and they were dressed up like for New Year's Eve, and they were having fun, and they were certainly drunk. My friend's parents were drunk.
Your Christmas sounds a lot like my Eid, because my family celebrates Eid. So in the morning, actually, people will go to the mosque and have the prayer, and it will be very solemn. And also we will remember those who have passed, and it's tradition to actually visit the cemetery once a year. But we are a combination of both your family and your friends' families, in that in the afternoon, that's when the festivities go on. We wear bright colored clothes, we eat a lot, we celebrate. So it's really a mish of these two celebrations.
Okay, so it starts very solemn. And what about alcohol?
Muslims generally don't drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. So if you are very traditional, at least on this day, you abstain.
Christmas definitely includes alcohol in Australia. Everyone gets a little bit merry on Christmas. And it's generally combined friends and family for me. So everyone just celebrates together, and it's fun and very summery, and there's nice refreshing cocktails made. It's lots of fun.
Okay, so spending the day with family seems to be common in most cultures. Whether you also visit or invite friends can vary between cultures on Christmas Day. And whether people drink alcohol and sing aloud or even dance clearly differs from culture to culture. We heard that in Singapore, alcohol is not usually consumed on that day, whereas Laura said, everyone gets a little bit merry on Christmas, and tasty alcoholic drinks are always on offer on these very hot days for Australians. So that's it for today.
Thanks for listening to our Christmas episode. We've learned a lot about intercultural Christmas traditions and New Year's resolutions. For over 25 years now, my wife and I have been away from German Christmas, and we've traveled to warmer climates. However, wherever you go in the world, the festive season seems to catch up with you in some way. Myself and everyone from the Absolutely Intercultural team wish you a very Merry Christmas and, as we would say in Germany, einen guten Rutsch ins neue Jahr, meaning a joyful slide into the new year. So please check out our website, absolutely-intercultural.com, to get more information about this and previous episodes. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. Anne is doing a wonderful job keeping us posted with interculturally interesting stories from around the world. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 2nd of January. So make sure you stick to your New Year's resolutions at least until you've heard her show. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig querkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.